And what I'm going to talk about is, and it's partly because I do remember very much how I did this piece, and I remembered why I did it, the way that I did it, and perhaps, and I judge that there at least are some composers in this audience, and perhaps it will be interesting to them. But I do have a more profound purpose. I spoke this morning about methods that I have used to try to gain freedom within a rigor, within a rigorous discipline. To me, this is the crucial, the thing of the most importance today for the young American composer. Having passed through a period of half a century perhaps, but certainly of several decades, in which the concepts of technology have dominated the artist, dominated the composer, in which there have been absolutely fabulous inventions in electronics which have undermined the techniques of the composer. The composer has, during this period, turned to a very high degree of intellectualization, and has almost felt that he had to explain his music in mathematical terms. This was understandable, and it didn't necessarily, I might point out, that this fact doesn't necessarily mean that masterpieces weren't written. But there was an awful lot that was written that I think in time we will find rather unpalatable because of this enormous concern for the purely technical. I think that the environment that was created for the artist during this time was not totally a healthy environment, because the artist doesn't think in the same way a scientist does. And his intuitive judgments remain important, regardless of what mathematics say. My son, by the way, is a mathematician, and I can just hear him come back and say, oh, now, wait a minute, intuition in mathematics, et cetera, et cetera. I won't go into that discussion that we can have. Now, there was then suddenly, in the 60s, a revolt against the machine. This revolt, it was very normal and very healthy and absolutely necessary. And this led to a degree of freedom which became almost license, and which led to a determination to depend on the intuition and on the inspiration, the momentary inspiration, extremely healthy. I mean, this was a revolt that was very necessary. And again, there is a lot of music which I think we will, in time, forget about, which is just froth. But there are masterpieces too. Just incidentally, let me point out that, in other words, these two periods have been exactly like all the other periods in the history of music. There's no difference. The Alberti bass period produced an awful lot of Alberti basses and some masterpieces. So I'm not saying anything that's pejorative about these two periods. I think things are changing right at the present moment. I see an enormous number of young composers, and they are, as they always are, dreadfully serious, but no counsel. Honestly, they are, some of them, developing a sense of humor. Just recently, one of my students came back from studying in Germany, Cologne, or where it was, with Stockhausen, and his piece was the most lovely satire on that gentleman that I have ever seen. So there is humor. But there is a real revolt. There is a feeling that something has got to be found. They've got to find something. And I think what they're looking for is a way in which to both control what they are doing and be free in the process of controlling. So I am really talking about something that is certainly extremely serious to me as a composer, but I think also very important to young composers. Now, in the work that I'm going to talk about, Landscapes Remembered, I think what I will do first is to read the New York criticism of the performance. I'm going to do this because I wouldn't do this if I thought the criticism was a terrible criticism. I mean, I don't like to be more than anybody else. I really think it's a good criticism. It doesn't offend me, but I think it's revealing of what I. I think it might be illuminating. Suppose you are listening to a nice string chord and a harp arpeggio comes in, a bit like some 19th century ballet score. And suppose that then the music shifts to a little folk song fragment in the wind, and from there to a mournful viola melody played with a pinch song. Then suppose that the music shifts to sustained tones with everybody slipping in and out of tune as in some anguished Penderecki piece. Then suppose that a muted trumpet takes over with a lighthearted folk song and that this leads to a few church bells followed by the long, ominous ring of a gong. And suppose that this all takes place only in a few minutes. That's more or less what happened in Ross Lee Finney's Landscapes Remembered. I started taking notes until the piece ended. If someone had told me that a piece of music some 15 minutes long could change its mood this drastically, this often, and still hang together, I wouldn't have believed him. But Finney's piece proves not only that it is possible, but that one can create extremely sensitive music with such a totally discontinuous process. Much of the success of this work has to do with Finney's ear, his craftsmanship, his artful transitions, and his uncanny sense of timing. But I think another, more mysterious and mystical factor is at work. Finney says the piece is based on memories of my childhood in North Dakota in the early part of the century. And I have no doubt that this is literally true. Otherwise, the music wouldn't seem as honest and personal as it does, and it wouldn't cohere either. But all these disparate styles and melodies are somehow linked up in Finney's mind, and so following some strange metaphysical path, they become linked up for us too. The listener can almost get inside the composer's memory somehow. I like being there. The reason that I read that is because he is trying to understand a very interesting, I think, and curious form. That is a chain of consciousness form. This piece is always pulling light out of itself. It's a form that I think is fascinating, very rarely discussed, because we like to discuss classical forms where you can say A, B, A, and that sort of thing. This form, there are great works, by the way, that have used this form. The three pieces by Alban Berg, the early pieces. Alban Berg, who was my teacher, was very interested in this form. It has, I think, the lyric suite for all its formalism is essentially this kind of form. This is and of course it is interested writers too. This is an unfolding of material and is very deeply rooted in memory.